Now I'll read from the Bible. Today's passage is Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's wonderful to be able to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ today. Thank you for this opportunity and blessing. Lord, all glory is given to you. And God, we know that you have created this entire world and you rule over it. You are the one and only true God. Lord, we ask that you allow us to pray for Japan. And Lord, we ask that things be done according to your will, that you strengthen this country according to your will. And you protect us as we're living here and providing the necessary knowledge and decision-making for the Japanese government. Lord, allow us to thank you for Pastor Anjiki giving us another message from you today. We have great expectations. And we ask that through this message, our faith will be further strengthened. Please watch over Pastor Anjiki as he gives his message this morning and bless him abundantly. We put everything before you, Lord, in your hands. Praying in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. Japanese is difficult for those who don't speak. Japanese is difficult for those who don't have it as a native language. And so that's something I've just noticed, and that's true of myself. So I will try to do my best speaking Japanese to you today. today. It's raining, and I thank you for coming out in the rain to be able to come worship with you today. And I also would like to thank those watching online as well, and it's wonderful you're able to watch the service as it's happening. All right, in the world, there's all these different like rankings of things, right? And just recently, there was a ranking of all the different prefectures in Japan. Perhaps you've heard about it. Last year, Tokyo was ranked bottom out of the 47 prefectures in Japan. Tochigi was ranked the least popular place to be. But this year, they've gone up to number 41. 47 to 41. Well, it's still at the bottom, but anyway. And Tochigi is beat out Ibaraki. Gunma prefecture actually went down quite a bit, and the governor was quite upset about it. He's like, why do you make our prefecture go down so low? And the people who, you know, were wondering about it would probably definitely be wondering. But who knows? Perhaps you've heard about rankings for, like, who's cool men. And depending on the country, it can be quite different. For example, in Mexico, Mexicans prefer cool men to be described as those who are strong and macho and prideful. And about 90% of the Mexican men think they're actually, you know, muscular and strong. They just think highly of themselves. As for people in Brazil, they think that men who have dark skin are super cool, and so they just try to get suntanned and burned all the time. However, in India, they think people with white skin are cool. And the makeup men put on is actually like 60% creams to make their skin look whiter. As for people in the UK, they think men with tattoos are cool. It's said that about 1 in 5 people in the UK has a tattoo. It's quite different from Japan. In Japan, if you go to a pool, swimming pool, and so on, there's actually signs up saying you can't get into the pool if you have a tattoo. So it's like banning UK people from the UK. As for the US, they have like having this type of body build is considered cool, and have a beard is cool. And checkered shirts seem to be the end thing recently, too. Not sure why. Anybody have checkered shirts on today? I have no idea why, but maybe that's it just seems popular to them. As for American men, they want to have a cool car, right? And pickup trucks are what's cool to them. Yeah. And they can just go over, you know, rivers and mountains and anything with these things because it's really a tough truck. And just actually recently, there was a company named Tesla. It's an electronics company. And this company actually had this presentation about a new kind of pickup truck they designed. And their whole PR thing about it was, if you hammer the truck, it's still not going to break. Like, even if you do anything to the windows, they won't, you know, crack or break. And so they were trying to promote the vehicle with these spec. When they had their announcement promotion about it, Elon Musk came forward and he said, well, I've never seen something you could beat on with a hammer and it would never break. So the media was there and they came to see exactly what this car was. And so they had this performance with a car, with a truck. And this really strong guy came up with a hammer and started hammering the truck. And this truck was built with a SpaceX rocket material, actually. And so it was, you know, painted black and dark. And so it was being hammered away here by this guy. And there was just not a single scratch on it. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then we'll try the glass. And so there's this metal ball thing that they rammed into the glass of the... And unfortunately, it all kind of cracked and broken. And then Elon Musk said, oh, I see there's still a little room for improvement.
that's all. Finished. And so the whole performance had to stop partway through. However, the stock for that company has suddenly dramatically dropped. In just an instant, 82.5 billion yen was lost by that company. The stockholders all started selling the stock out of distress of the sale of the vehicle. So, in other words, the what was promoted and the truth about the vehicle were two different things. You know, it was fine, you know, if they hit it with a hammer, and if it got hit, it was fine. However, when it came to the glass, it was a different story. In other words, in the world, if something that was promised doesn't come forth in the way it was promised, then you stop believing in it, right? You can't believe in something if you see it's false. The Bible is actually something that has about a third prophecy. It tells what's going to happen in the future. And each of the prophecies have been recorded as coming to pass exactly as prophesied. If you look back over things that have already come to pass, you can see this is true. For example, in the past, like this was prophesied and then it happened, and it's 100% accuracy. If there was all different instances in which prophecy didn't come to pass, then people would have forgotten about the Bible by now. However, one of the reasons why it's still continuously read is because it is so accurate. And it also projects not only what's happening to us in the present day, but also in the future. If everything has happened according to prophecy in 100% accuracy in the past, then it's true to say that this will be expected for the future. And in the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, it clearly has a lot of prophecy there. Some people just think of it, Revelation, as a book on its own. However, it's part of the whole Bible, and you can't just read it on its own. You know, originally it was, you know, 66 different books in the Bible, and then the last one is the, you know, most recent one, however, still first century, which isn't exactly recent. And the main content of Revelation is actually talking about the end of the world. The prophecy that God has put in the Bible is telling about many of the main things that are going to happen. And one of the main things that's going to happen, we've already talked about it before, is actually the rapture. At that time, all of the Christians who are here on earth will be instantly taken up to heaven. And that's something that's going to be so quick that nobody's going to be able to see it. The people who are left behind are just going to be like, oh, somebody's just suddenly not here. So people who truly believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior will be just suddenly taken to heaven in the rapture. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 4 and 5, it actually talks about the Christians in heaven prior to the Great Tribulation and then worshiping God. Starting in chapter 6, though, it's talking about what the left-behind people on the earth, and it's talking about this extreme period of disaster as the Great Tribulation, when God's judgment is going to be upon the earth. And it's a period of 7 years, a set period, and it will start. That's what we're starting to look at here in today's passage. The Great Testament is not the first, Great Tribulation is not mentioned first in Revelation, but it's something that's been prophesied in other books. For example, in the Old Testament, it's prophesied as the Day of the Lord. It's also prophesied as a time of trouble for Jacob. And this is all referring to what the Great Tribulation is. Starting in chapter 6, it talks about the seals on the scrolls. And how God's judgment is written in there. There's the seven seals, and each one is taken off, then God's judgment is conducted upon the earth. In today's passage, we're learning about what happens when the first through the fourth seals are removed. First, let's look at verse 1 again. It says, I watched. And this is John. He's
up until this point, he's been talking about what he's seen in heaven, but now he's been shown this other vision that he's going to talk about, and that's about what's on happening on earth. And he says, I watched as the Lamb, and this Lamb that he's talking about here is Jesus Christ. We learned that before. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder. These four living creatures he's talking about are very high-level angels, like the seraphim and cherubim that I mentioned about as well before, archangels. So these four living creatures say in a loud voice like thunder, come. And who is it that they're telling come to? It's not John. You can see as you read further, but it's referring to the four horses that are going to come forward. And the living creatures or the angels are calling forward these horses to come onto the earth. And these four horses will come forth. And as that happens, various disasters happen upon the earth. And that's what we're going to read about here. At the end of history, the Creator God will have his period of judgment on the earth. And that's what's going to start in today's passage. So when he say come, the four horses come. The first one is a white one. The next one is red. The next one is black. And then the last one is a pale one. So these are very colorful horses in a sense. And you would think that this is something you couldn't even see if you went to a racetrack and see such colorful horses. Like, you probably haven't seen much bluish pale looking horses in your life. So you might be wondering, what do these colors have to do with horses? Well, it doesn't explain in the book of Revelation. However, it does explain in another part of the Bible about this. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And John, who wrote it, was one who knew exactly what the people who would be reading it would have reference to and know about. And he read it. I wrote it on the preface that people would understand what he was talking about. So you have to understand the books of the Old Testament and the other books of the New Testament in order to be able to read Revelation. Otherwise, you really won't understand what he's talking about. People who just read Revelation on its own just have a totally off-the-wall understanding of what it possibly could mean. And they're just way off. So these colorful horses that are mentioned here all have a specific meaning. If you look in the Old Testament, you can find out where it is. You have to refer to the book of Zechariah. He was a prophet, and he prophesied about this vision he saw with horses. Let's read a little bit from that. And in verse 8, it says, during the night I had a vision, and this is talking about Zechariah's vision here, and there before me was a man mounted on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. There's the color of horses, right? And then I asked, what are these, my Lord? And so he was asking God, you know, like, what are these horses about? And then God's answer was in verse 10, I will show you what they are, and they are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth, he said. In other words, these are the angels that the Lord is using. They are used for the purpose of doing God's work on earth. And in Revelation, these horses are also really angels. They are being used for procuring God's judgment on earth. And it says, I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So here's this white horse, and somebody was riding it, right? Who was it that was riding it? Well, it was the one who was going to conduct judgment on the earth, right? And who? Some people say, well, it was Hitler or it was Putin from Russia, or white. Maybe it's Kim Jong. So there's different people with different theories. However, based on this content, it's something that's going to be in the Great Tribulation. In other words, it hasn't happened yet. So whoever's riding this white horse is not somebody who's been in past history or is leading at present, somebody in the future. And it's not Jesus Christ either, because Jesus will be riding a white horse later in the revolution, not at this point. So who is this riding the white horse? It's actually the Antichrist. And the Antichrist isn't mentioned in Revelation, but it is mentioned in other books that John wrote when he's speaking about the end of the world. The Antichrist is a person who is taking the place of Christ, or calling himself Christ. It's not somebody who's against Christ, but taking the place of Christ and just saying that he is the Savior and that he is the one who is to be worshipped. That's what the Antichrist is. So the Antichrist is who is riding this white horse. Let's look at verse 2 once more. It says, I looked and there was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. And he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So you see that he has this bow in his hand, right? And usually a bow would be used for fighting, right? However, you can't just fight with a bow, right? You have to have something else with it, right? You have to have a arrow. However, here it's saying mentioning nothing about an arrow. It's just about this bow. And something really interesting is this bow that's mentioned here in Hebrew is actually the same word as rainbow in Hebrew. It kind of has the same shape, right? So in the Bible, rainbow is actually a symbol of peace after the flood of Noah. And you may remember God put a rainbow in the sky, ensuring and encouraging people that he would never once again flood the earth. So regardless of where you go in the world, all people have a really positive image of what rainbow. Somebody who's a rainbow isn't going to go running away crying, shocked and scared, right? So it's a symbol of peace. And so this rider is holding a bow. And the Antichrist here, it's showing how he is coming actually in peace around the world right now. There are all kinds of different wars and fighting going on. And many people who are involved or stuck because of it are very anxious and want it to just finish. And many times the American president is trying to negotiate with some of these areas to resolve things, but it's not seeming to work well. And this is, even if the most powerful leaders in the world, president of the U.S., can't do anything, can't really do anything. And so these various fighting and war areas are places where if they can all be resolved, people around the world would be like, wow, that's just amazing. You know, if there's some guy who was able to just resolve all these different fightings and wars going around, then everybody would want to just have him be the president of a worldwide country. And that's what's predicted. And he will have victory after victory, conquest after conquest, right? He will have this crown or a symbol of authority. And it's likely he'll probably get a Nobel Peace Prize. So the Antichrist is one who is actually very scary, but comes to the scene as one who is in peace. And that's why he's riding a white horse here first. If you look over history, Hitler and Mussolini and these other dictators were people who killed just thousands of people, right? It's terrible. However, they didn't come to the scene with armed force. They were actually elected, and they slowly gained power over time. And in Italy and Germany as well, they were people who were actually selected to be in power. And And the people at that time thought highly of them, and that's why they were voted for. As a result, they gained power and authority in their subsequent countries. As soon as they got it, though, they became dictators and took over. And the Antichrist will be the same. At first, he will come to the scene as a very peaceful person and fix all these problems that the world's been facing. And everybody around the world's going to be so excited that they're going to want to give him all the power and just let him do whatever he wants. So this is what we're talking about here, the Antichrist on the white horse. The second seal. When the second seal is taken off, then a red, fiery horse comes forth. And red is a symbol of bloodshed. It's the color of blood, right? So it's symbolizing war. And it says he was given a big sword. In other words, the Antichrist starts ruling people with armed force and starts, you know, violently attacking those who oppose him. In this period of 7 years for the Great Tribulation, there are three wars that take place, three main wars. The first one is at the very start. The second one is 3.5 years through the 7 year period, so right in the middle of it. And then the third war is at the very end. And the last war is one you're probably well aware of. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And play on words in Japanese. Anyway, it's an actual location. And it's kind of like on a hill. Hill is what it means. And so it's a battle that will take place on a hill is what Armageddon means. In other words, this red horse is just showing, explaining that there'll be a war, battles involved. The third seal is mentioned in verse 5, and it's talking about a black horse here. In other words, the result of the war is that there's going to be a very poor, a very bad economic recession. And it says here that the rider has a scale in it. And this is a symbol that there's going to be lack of food. And it says 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. Very expensive, right? Right? But, well, you wouldn't even know what this means just by pounds and stuff. But they're saying it's like 1 liter. And so you have to be able to understand these ways of measuring things used in the old days. 1 denarii, for example, was just like the pay for somebody, for a person working all day, and that's how much they would get. That's 1 denarii. So in Japanese, in maybe 10,000 yen. So like a little bit of flour would cost you 10,000 yen. Would you buy something like that expense? Of course not. And about, if you're looking at the amount of money things costed at that time, you'd be about 8 times the normal price. And wheat and flour and so on were things that would have been used as rice is used in Japan, something on a daily business basis in Japan. If the rice price went up by 8 times, everybody would be at a loss. So there's, because of the food shortage, then that would cause a famine, because if people buy it, then some people obviously would not be able to, and so then people would start starving. And today, there's over 200 countries, and there are very, very few countries that actually are self-sufficient for creating enough food for themselves. And Japan is not one of them. So if trade stops, then there's going to be a serious problem for many of these countries. And if a war starts, then there's going to be a lot of problems because trade will stop. You know, if they'll say, if you want rice, you have to obey us. And you have to obey them if you want rice. So there's going to be this huge famine that takes place. if you are not raptured and you have to live through the great tribulation, I encourage you to start buying food quickly because then you may be able to actually make a lot of money in the great tribulation. A long time ago, there was a time when, in the past, when there's various instances of the prices going up very highly. For example, in Japan, there was a huge rice crisis in the past in 1918, and the rice stores closed up their services. And for a time, rice was not able to be purchased, and if so, it was extremely expensive. So millionaires were able to buy rice, but not other people. And at that time, the Japanese government kind of fell apart, and this was a huge disaster as well. Perhaps you remember the French Revolution, and one of the main problems with that was the lack of bread. There was just no bread, and the people were very upset about that, and they would steal it, and they would scream out, "There's no bread, give us bread." And perhaps you remember Marie Antoinette, and she also was yelling out, "Give us bread." But she even actually had said something to the effect of, like, if you can't get bread, just eat snacks instead, just eat whatever you... But if there's no bread, there'd be no snacks either, right? So, and the Russian Revolution was the same as well, 1917, when there was a shortage of food at that time. The emperor and Nikolai II was also involved with this. There's something very interesting, though, here mentioned in verse 6. It says, "Do not damage the oil and wine." In usual circumstances, if there's a disaster, a natural disaster, all of the food would be subject to it, right? However, here it's God is saying, "Do not damage the oil and wine." Why would this be true? Well, Jewish people, when they have their religious customs, they use olive oil and grape juice or wine. In other words, in order to be able to worship God, they are able to continue to do so using these things. So they're still acknowledging the true God. This is, in other words, this disaster or famine is not going to be a natural one. It's going to be very specific. And finally, the fourth seal. It's referring to a pale horse in verse 8. The rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And this is in the place where non-believers go, right? You know, Death and Hades. And so just Hades just takes in all these people who have died. And it says, they were given a power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by all the wild beasts of the earth. This pale horse that's talked about here can also be translated in a different way, also meaning pale. And you know, like it's like if you see somebody who's not feeling well and they have a pale-looking face, it kind of looks blue, right? And so this bluish horse or pale horse is one that is sending people, in a sense, to death, to Hades. And this is due to the war with the sword, right? And also through pandemics and famine, plagues. It's going to be something a lot more serious than the COVID-19. And also it says wild beasts of the earth. And so these wild beasts are going to kill people too. Right now, and today, the day we're living in, animals are actually a cause of many people's deaths. For example, in 1 year around the world, people who die by being bitten by dogs are about like 20,000, apparently. And people bitten by poisonous snakes who die are about 80,000. And those who are killed by other humans are five times the amount of those bitten by snakes. I mean, you'd run away from a snake, right? But you need to run away from humans because they're more dangerous than snakes. But there's one that animal that kills 80 billion people a year, and it's actually mosquitoes from malaria mainly. So in other words, there are wild beasts killing people on Earth even today, but in the Great Tribulation, it's going to be even more serious because a fourth of the human population will die. And so you may wonder, like, how many is this? Well, around the Bible, Earth today, there's about 7.7 billion people. And if the Christians are taken out, then, you know, I still don't know, like, what number that would exactly be. But, for example, if you take about 1.5 billion of them being Christians, then there'd be about 60 billion people left, right? So if there's 60 billion people on the earth left behind and fourth are killed, can you calculate what that would be? Do you want some fingers to calculate? There would be about 15 billion people that would just disappear instantly. And so people listening to this message would be, may get really upset, really think that saying something like this is absurd and the Bible is just crazy and like, how could you believe something like this? However, if you look over human history, though, you can see and realize that there has been an instance where one-fourth of the world population did pass away. It was in the 14th century, and it was due to pests. In those days, there were 450 million people on Earth, and about 100 million people died due to the pests. So that was 22% of the population. And a fourth of the population would have been 25%, so it was pretty much almost a fourth. And in Europe, actually, two-thirds of the population died. In the UK and Italy, it was actually 50%. So half of the population of those countries died because of the pests. Yeah, like the whole country would be very much at risk. And this was something that actually happened in the 14th century. So to have a fourth of the world population dying rather quick time span is not something that's unreasonable. It's happened in the past. However, it seems it will happen in the future again. Some people may think about God's judgment and ask the following question. Well, if God is a God of love, then why would God be professing judgment of this sort on people? They might say, I can't believe in a God like that. Well, it's true. God is love, and that is very clearly written in the Bible. However, at the same time, God is a righteous God and a holy God. And that is his character. Righteousness as a character is a form of character that cannot put up with or accept evil. And we humans are made in the image of God, and we are to be those who act in a righteous and live in a righteous way. For example, sometimes you may hear about murderers that occur and people who just stab others with knives. And then sometimes they say, I just wanted to try killing people and I don't regret anything. And if I have another opportunity, I'd do the same thing. And usually those people, when they're sent to court, they end up in the death penalty. However, what if at the time of judgment, the judge professed the judgment that the person is innocent? And the reason is because I am full of love and I just want to be nice to him and I want to forgive everybody. How would you respond? You'd be like, what are you thinking, you silly judge? What? How could you just let somebody go who would just kill people and wants to kill people again? You should be fired. And we want judges to be righteous and to follow through with what they're supposed to do, right? Yeah. And then you get, you know, relieved when the correct judgment is made. So the people living in the Great Tribulation, do you remember who they are? They're not Christians. Christians are all in heaven because they've been raptured. God is not just quickly killing people here. He, 2,000 years ago, sent a form of salvation to humanity through the Son of His, Jesus Christ, and He's already told us about that. And He's told us that judgment is to come. He's told us that we have the choice to take the judgment or to take salvation. He tells us that all of our sins have been forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross, and by believing in Him, regardless of what terrible things we've done, we can be forgiven. Even if we've committed something that gives us the death penalty in the human courts, we can be forgiven in God's eyes if we believe in Jesus Christ. That is God's love. And the reason why Jesus was resurrected is He was proving here that He can rule over death, and that He has the ability to forgive. And that same message has been continued to be told over the past 2,000 years. In the great tribulation, these are people who have just ignored or refused God's opportunity for salvation. And at this time that I'm talking about, there will be people who actually do come to faith in Christ. So if Christians are there, then how do they know? Well, even if Christians aren't here, there'll be a lot of testimony left behind by Christians, correct? For example, today, there may be many of you here, I hope, will be raptured. But, for example, if there are some of you who are not, then you'll be left behind, right? But if you notice all the Christians around you are gone, you'll be like, oh my gosh, that was real. The rapture was a true thing. Everybody who I was with in that worship service that day, they're like all gone. And they would realize that not only the rapture was true, but the God of the Bible is true, and the Bible is true, and all of that. Then they would look on YouTube and various things to try and learn more about the Bible and hear its message. And then they would likely believe in Jesus Christ, right? And it says, and it's prophesied, that there'll be a lot of people like that. And during the Great Tribulation, it's prophesied that there'll be a lot of Jewish people who come to profess faith in Christ as well. Paul also refers to this by saying that much of Israel will be saved at this time. And right now, you can't believe something like that because there are just very, very few Jewish Christians. Most of them are actually opposed to Christianity. And so it's very difficult to believe that an entire group of people would suddenly turn to Christ, but that's what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. The people who are saved during that time will be asking the Lord to come very quickly. And at that time, at the right time, Jesus Christ will come. You will not experience great tribulation if you believe in Jesus Christ, so you don't need to worry about that. However, how about your family? How about your friends that you care about? Do they believe in Jesus Christ? It's likely that around you, there are people that need to hear about Jesus Christ, because there's a lot of people who probably haven't heard anything. You may think, oh, this person's probably heard about him from 50 other people, but there are likely people around you who, if you don't say anything, they will never hear. And that is your responsibility to tell them. You have to speak to them. You need to tell them the way. So I encourage you to please tell the gospel to those who you care about. That is one of our responsibilities as Christians. And Jesus Christ isn't just going to come suddenly to the earth again in the second company. There's going to be a sign. You know, sometimes when you get sick, you know, like you start feeling like you have a headache or a cough or something. So it's a sign, right? And one of the signs that Jesus will be coming is that there's going to be the Antichrist, of course, and then the false prophets too. So there's going to be all these false people trying to get people to go aside And Paul and Peter mentioned this and tell us many times to stay awake and stay alert, to not be confused by false theology. And so you need to continue to learn the Bible. You need to keep listening to the biblical messages. You need to know what is true. You need to know what the truth is so that you can easily recognize when something is false. If you don't have the real thing and the real truth in front of you, you're going to easily be led astray. And then you too will fall into destruction. So I encourage you strongly to continue to learn about the Bible. At our church, we have the mana option that's sent out freely every day on your iPhone. And you can read through the Bible and learn messages from the Bible every day. You can read the entire Bible in 3 years by following such a program as this. So if you haven't signed up for mana, I encourage you to do that. It starts at 6 a.m., is that right? Yeah? Oh, 6 a.m. is when it's sent out. And it's just kind of, you can use it instead of an alarm clock. And we also have UCLA at the church. That's another option, an opportunity for you to learn about the Bible in a continuous manner. There's also YouTube and CD options for this if you're not able to come to the church physically. And just please continue to learn about the Bible. And then you won't be led astray by false teaching. You will be able to continue your faith strong until the end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to learn another word from you today. We know, Lord, that we are told to keep our eyes awake and to be alert and to turn our hearts toward you. And please allow that to happen. Lord, please provide guidance to us as we walk forward. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's have a time of prayer and silence. And I'll pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. We have announcements and we'll finish for today. Please refer to the screen in front.